Here's the big story coming out of New York City. At least 30 people suffered bumps and bruises today when a Brooklyn bus careened out of control, slammed into 17 cars in its path. The bus's bumper car bang-up came about 3:10 this afternoon on Albany Avenue near Clarkson in Crown Heights. People were panicking. Kids were screaming. But the bus driver wouldn't stop, said Linda McDuffie, one of the roughed-up passengers. There were conflicting reports on how many people were aboard the bus. Witnesses said there were as many as 40. The New York Police Department says people from the neighborhood ran to the scene. Fights broke out, leading to further injuries. McDuffie said the bus driver just started speeding, passing stoplights, going through red lights. People wanted to get off. He wouldn't stop. He wouldn't even respond. He hit a van from behind and just kept going. Hit another car, just kept going, ran into other vehicles, one after another. When he finally stopped, he just sat there, saying nothing. It was crazy. He just sat there. Well, I think we have a guy here who was having a bad day. I'd like to introduce the word stress into the conversation at this point. I'm thinking it's a factor. It's a player. It's a player here, stress is. I think this fella had one too many things fail to go his way this afternoon. Oh, he'd been feeling a little agitated already, I'm sure. What with his wife seeing another guy, his kids having recently told him they disapprove of every direction he's taken as a father. But then he went to work. And what a fatal mistake that was. Then he went to work. And things went from bad to worse, folks. He learned the Brooklyn Dodgers had moved to L.A. That's old news to you and I, but this guy lived in a kind of a shell, kind of a bubble, and he lived very much in the past, a very insulated existence. The news hit and the news stung. The Dodgers in L.A., what? But it didn't stop there. His first passengers today were three Puerto Rican guys who refused to pay the fare. And they told him if he attempted to do anything about it, they'd ice him right then and there. Poor bus driver felt emasculated. He let him ride. He let it go. Next person he stopped for was a morbidly obese older gal who had trouble fitting through the bus doors and, in fact, got stuck briefly along with her shopping bags. She had to be pried free. This delayed the bus, threw the driver's schedule off, forcing him to have to push it, forcing him to take a little more abuse from passengers at the next stops. At lunchtime, this bus driver found that his soup container had leaked, and that caused his paper bag to break, sending his food cascading down the steps of the bus out into the street where it was all run over by a taxi cab. And the stress built. You ever driven a bus, people? I was a bus driver for 4 years. Then in the afternoon, two different delivery trucks cut him off. Not only cut him off, one of the guys gave him the finger. Then a garage malfunctioned at one point. Parking garage. The door malfunctioned. There was a line of cars trying to get in and they blocked the street. He was hitting the horn. Again, he was late. And a garbage hauler parked in one of the bus stops, one of the busiest bus stops, kept him from getting to his passengers. Oh, it was building. You don't know stress till you drive a bus in Brooklyn. He shouldn't have gone to work today. You see, at this point, our bus driver needed just one little push. Nothing big. Just one little push. He was fit to be tied. He was ready to blow. Just one more little thing was going to do it. The fuse was out there, dangling free, quite visible. There it was. Just needed to be lit, that's all. And almost anything would suffice for a flame. Well, it came in the form of a tall, thin British fella who told this driver his bus stunk. It smelled. It needed to be cleaned. The Brit sat up front, right near the driver, recited a litany of complaints about New York public transportation. As the bus moved from block to block, the guy wouldn't stop. He wouldn't shut up. But then the Brit took it just a little too far. One step too far. He told the bus driver, the guy steered his rig like a French sissy. And he asked if this was typical of all Americans. And that's when our man lost it. I'll tell you something. A foot never pressed against floorboards with more energy and intensity and rage. A gas pedal never felt such crushing weight. The redness, the bright redness that filled our bus driver's face resembled fresh barn siding. And the eyes that bulged out, they were large and round as ping pong balls. Now, the Brit was the first casualty. He was sent through the windshield at 44 miles per hour. Ended up skipping over 9 car hoods like a pebble across an icy creek. It was ugly. Well, depending on your perspective, he would not be the last casualty. His fate was surely the most satisfying, however. Unfortunately, others had to pay for this man's boorishness, for the slights, for the insults, for the unfortunate occurrences that had been falling like dominoes of late in this bus driver's life. Others had to pay. In all, 30 people bore the brunt of this bus driver's rage. Witnesses said the calm that came over this bus driver in the aftermath, the serenity that crossed his face, filled his spirit as he sat in his seat immediately afterwards, as the bus engine smoked and people around him screamed. They say that tranquility was almost eerie in its beatific beauty. It was as though this bus driver had finally found some long-lost peace at last, as though he had been wanting to do something like this for as long as he could remember, for all of his 42 years working at the bus company. What a wondrous thing it is to see one become a man in full, to see someone meet with his soul's longing, slide into the skin of the person he was always meant to be. They say that he strolled out of the doors of that bus and strolled down the block, seeming suddenly several inches taller. They say a sea of humanity parted for him as if directed by divine forces. He was found later by the cops at his favorite watering hole, Kenny's Pit Stop in Brooklyn. He had a Boilermaker in his hand, and that same beatific glow in his face. He was arrested without incident. He went willingly, even joyfully. And tonight, right about now, he can be heard singing in a Brooklyn jail cell, singing softly, sweetly, with a lilt in his voice. Come by the barred windows, and you'll hear it. You'll hear the profound words and this soulful melody.
Take this job and shove it.
Go ahead and arrest me.
Take this job and shove it. in this factory for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman.